So we'll open up. Let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Kind of go over some things. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God, for waking us up this morning. God, we thank you most of all for your grace and your mercy. God, we thank you for the plan of salvation. We thank you for the forethought that would allow us to be here at this place. God, we thank you for giving us a mind to serve. And we just pray now that you would open up the scriptures, God, that we might be edified, and that our life from this day forward, we will grow closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so John chapter 13. We've been dealing with the discerning disciple, or discerning discipleship. I can't remember exactly the way the title was. That's not that important. But what is important is that we look at discerning and we look at discipleship, because we are in the discipleship series, or disciple, I think it's discipleship. And, you know, the root word, we talk about it every time, is discipline. And discerning is kind of getting to know, or knowing from a spiritual connection, that we don't know altogether, but we perceive a thing. And because we perceive a thing spiritually, right? We're a spiritual being with a physical body, right? And God is a
spiritual.
He's a spirit. That's it. No body that we know of. And if there is a body, it's spiritual. Right? Because we can't see it. It's not natural. And so when the Lord communicates with us, it's not that he can't speak audibly, because there's no limit on God outside of failing, right? He can't die, right? He can't lie. But outside of certain things, small few things like that, he's limitless, okay? And so in John chapter 13, we see Jesus pivoting in one of the last lessons that he's teaching the disciples before paying the ultimate price for each of us, right? And he says that one of them is going to betray him. So one of you guys, and it's, you know, just kind of imagine in your mind, just think about this, a group of guys, Jesus being the leader of these guys, but through humility, very, very clear in his speaking. He's not ambiguous. He's not really confusing. Yes, they asked a lot of questions, but he was very direct. And some of the things in the way he asked, I think it was in a manner to get them to ask the question so that he could provide the understanding and the clarity. So he says to them, one of you shall betray me. And you can imagine all of these guys looking around at each other.
Like, who is it? Which one of us is it?
We know it's somebody, because we know he's right. And and it could be me. I might be wrong. I think I'm with him, you know. And we see how Peter, he told the Lord, he was like, man, you ain't never going to wash my feet.
Right.
And then when he succumbs to the fact he's going to wash his feet, he says, okay, all right, so you can wash my feet, but wash my head and my hands too.
You made it too far.
And Jesus says to him, no, I'm not doing that either. It's so amazing. Like, when we learn that the disciple is to follow the master, and we look at the master Jesus, and we see how he handled things. Man, it's such a high calling. You see that he didn't get offended at his position to Peter. He didn't stop to tell Peter who he was, right? He just simply sit plain and said, no, you don't need to be washed saving your feet only. So Peter had to submit, right? All right. So I wanted to go over what I had last week. I didn't get to do it as far as the definition for disciple. The definition, not disciple, but discerning. Let's see if I can pull it up here. All right. Did anybody have any questions, thoughts, or comments? How about that bold statement I said last time? I said where you're going to see the enemy try to trick you or somebody else into the thing. I said you will discern it. Y'all remember that? Did y'all see it? Did anybody see it? I had to remember exactly what it was, but it was... I said the enemy, you're going to see how the enemy almost tries to bait you with a thing. You connect with something spiritually, and I told you, just because it's spirit, it doesn't mean it's God. Right. God is going to reveal a thing for edification. He's going to reveal a thing so that either it's going to build you up or it's going to help you to build somebody else up. But the enemy, who is also a spirit, thank you, Holy Ghost, because I forgot. He's going to reveal a thing that's going to cause for you to be offended, so that when you open your mouth, it is to kill, to tear down, or it makes you paralyzed where you're just angry. I can't do nothing. The Lord's not, it's going to disrupt your relationship with the Lord. Discerning, all right, to examine or judge. So we know the common cliche, to the growing Christian by the religious or those that aren't saved, that are against Christ, we see that they say, you can't judge me, right? But we see that we ought to discern. And the scripture says that discerning and examine, okay, and there's a natural and a spiritual, but we're talking about the spiritual, okay, is examine or judge, to investigate, inquire into, scrutinize, sift, question, interrogate, to search. So we're looking at adding to that spiritually and adding discipline to that. Adding, me and Eldon was talking about just this morning, you know, we can know a thing in our head, but when placed in the situation, how do we respond? Well, you know, the preacher, the pastor, has taught so many times that we're going to default back to the training, right? We're going to default back to the discipline. It goes back to the same thing. How do you discipline yourself? Well, I've seen, and this is my opinion, and I believe it to be true, but for so long, the folks in the church and the church collectively have become loose in their spirituality, and so that they're no longer disciplined, and anything can come and go, right? We align, and we have aligned ourselves where there is no clear distinction between us and the world. Us and those that are spiritual. You know, you have a folk, they say, well, I don't go to church, but I'm spiritual. Me and God are good. Right? That's a common thread. You hear that. If you're talking to people and you're trying to share the gospel, trying to share your faith and love, they say, no, man, I'm spiritual, but go ahead, sis.
But you have to let them know it's the reason why you go to church, not, right? When they say that, you have to let them know that.
I mean, I agree, but here's the thing. What we have to do as disciples and as believers, I don't want to be, and I know people, we have people to say different things. I'm just telling my personal convictions, not that it's right. It's how I approach it, all right? That I'm a believer, not a Christian. Yeah, I'm a Christian to a degree, right? But I'm a believer because everybody, this is a Christian nation, and we know that everybody don't believe the way we believe. And what is it that I believe? I believe this Bible cover to cover. I believe that Jesus literally came down from heaven. He literally lived a sinless, perfect life. He literally paid a price with his in life. He literally went down and rescued those that were captive. And he literally was raised from the dead and literally now sits on the right hand of the throne of God. And he's ever interceding for us. I literally believe that. Right? Because the scripture tells me that.
So someone else can believe that, and just like you said, still say they don't go to church, but...
No, they can't.
And they can't
believe
that whole
Bible. No, it is impossible.
They can't believe what you just said, everything that you just said. They can't believe all of that, but still...
They can say that...
Church regularly.
Sure, they can say they believe that, but here's the thing. They believe in... Man, that is so amazing that you said that. Sometimes when I'm praying, and I have prayed and ministered worship, and we talked about... that Jesus is being Savior. And if, as we're witnessing, we're talking about the Savior, Jesus. He died to save you. And we sometimes, and I would say most of the time, we forget that Jesus is Lord and Savior. He's Lord. And whether he saves you or not, every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, he didn't save them. But he's Lord, period. He can be our Savior, and we have to recognize that. And so when Jesus moved from being Savior, which I could kind of see that if they say they believe that, they can see him as Savior, but he's not Lord. And because if he's Lord, he's going to lead you and he's going to guide you. He's going to say, you know what? You need to be fed. I've given you a pastor according to mine heart who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding, who will be an example to you, right? We need that. We need somebody that's going to be an example to us until we can be an example to others.
So when you're talking to someone who in that position, you go in the Bible and you show them where they should.
No, I would just share Jesus with them. We've shared church for so long. I would just try to share Jesus with them, and I would live a lifestyle before them and ask the Holy Ghost as to what to say and how to say it and also when to say it, because people have been preached church for so long. And what we have to deal with is the root of the matter, which is you're not a good person. People have resolved. They have settled this question in their mind that I'm all right. Me and God are good. Because God is love and God loves me. He loves the whole world. John 3:16. I'm part of the world. He loves me. I acknowledge him. I'm not like the atheist. I'm not this guy. Right? But we don't understand that if we set our own boundaries apart from Christ, we have become God in our own lives. If we have set our own boundaries, we said that this is okay, but if I cross this line, it's not okay. We have then become God. We have not set and said, Lord, where can I go? What is my boundary? Where should I stop? I see what this man doing. He go to church, but where am I supposed to stop? Right? That's when the Jesus becomes Lord. All right. Let's look at John chapter 13, and let's look at, I don't want to go too far back, but I do want to hit one thing here, since we just said it. John chapter 13 and verse 13. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then be your Lord and Master, have washed your feet. Excuse me. Ye ought to wash one another's feet. Why'd I go there? Master and Lord. Master and Lord. We're in a discipleship series, and the disciple is one that follows another. Well, the one that we're following is the Master. We're trying to see Jesus. You know, the pastor just recently began a series that he said he don't know what we're going to come out of talking about. Jesus. He said, our problem collectively is that some of us have not met and fell in love with Jesus. Some of us have had a visitation like the blind man. And when Jesus came back to him, the same Jesus that just healed him, he said, man, who is he, Lord, that I may know him? Who is this guy? Jesus like, it's me. I'm Jesus. Jesus says to us, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That's where we stop. We get happy. We get saved. We're excited about Jesus. But we stop at the learning. And what we begin to do is we begin to do a lot of assuming. We begin to hear a lot of what they said and assume that what they were talking about was Jesus. You know, there's and this here is not planned, but there was a passage of scripture. I can't remember where it said, but it's in the Old Testament. I think it's in Kings, but it talked about the young man of God. This man was on fire for the Lord. He wasn't part of the establishment. He was young in the faith, but he loved the Lord. And the Lord placed something in his heart to do. He said, go and cry against the altar. And when you get there, after you cry against the altar, the altar is going to break as a sign that what you said is true. The ash is going to pour out. He said, don't eat and don't stop. Don't do nothing in this land. So the man did what he's supposed to do. And he cried out to the king. He left, and on his way back, an old prophet. Well, the old prophet was the prophet that was ordained for that region. The Lord probably told him to do the same thing. But for money, for status, for prestige, he decided, well, you know what? It's not that bad. I'm going to tell him. I'm going to prophesy, but I ain't going to give him the whole truth. I can't do it on that degree. So he never did it. So God raised up somebody else, even to the conclusion of what they talked about last Sunday in Minister Henley class. If you don't do it, will God raise up another person? If it's his will. If that's the message he decided to get across, he will get it across. So he raised up the young man. The young man with the right heart went and did exactly what the Lord told him to do. The old prophet come meet him in the way and says to him, hey, man, wow, that was powerful, man. When I was a young man, I used to preach. And the Lord will move just like that. Come on and eat bread with me, man. Let's talk about it. Young prophet said, or young man of God said, man, I'm not doing that. That's crazy. I'm not doing it. I know what the Lord told me to do. And just like that altar rent, I'm going to they say, Gio went. I'm going to be on my way. I'm out of here. But then the old prophet came to him with something that was mysterious. We're still talking about discernment. Spiritual discernment. Adding discipline to this thing. He came with a spiritual encounter. He said, hey, wait a minute. Now, I know the Lord used you. But I've been in this game a long time. And an angel have told me to tell you to come and eat bread with me. And a young prophet said, man, the Lord spoke to me, but an angel never spoke to me. Man, an angel spoke to him? An angel? I'm going to bypass what I know the Lord told me to do. Because this man said something about an angel. And he was disobedient. Why I told you that? Because it's about discernment. Knowing what the Lord told you to do. Also knowing that it doesn't matter about the God that necessarily had been in this thing a longer time. It doesn't matter about the older or the fancier the story. It's about obedience, adding discipline to your discernment. Now you know you heard the word of the Lord. How is this now going to dissuade you? How is he going to persuade you to do something different? How is he going to manipulate you? Right? All right, let's look at the scripture. So he said, verse 13, you call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, being your Lord and master, John 13:13, verse 14 now, ye ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Remember that example? We need an example. Jesus is our example. And those that have patterned their life after Jesus is our example. We can see this. Verse 17.
16.
Mm-mm. Verse 17. I'm skipping. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. If you know what things?
What I told you.
Just that simple. It's not this one thing. It's all things. If you know what the Lord have told you, happy are you if you do them. Right? This is discerning. What the Lord told me to do. If you want happiness in your life, find out what the Lord told you to do and do it. Jesus says plainly, happy are ye if ye do them. Them what? The things the Lord has told you to do. And then he says, verse 18, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me have lifted his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. So the Lord's going to deal with us about some things that we're going to see so we can know that it was the Lord. Why? Discernment. Discerning. That's how our faith is increased. How we are able to clearly understand the Lord's voice and how he speaks to us. He's going to put something in our spirit. And as we open our eyes to see, wait a minute, was this the Lord? Let's not be over cocky. Let's see if it's the Lord. Let's say stuff like peradventure. That's what the scripture says. Maybe, perhaps. And I'm going to look to see. And the way I'm going to know that it was the Lord and how he spoke this time, because what he said is going to come to pass. Right? The preacher says it here is, what happened next? How we know it was the Lord? He said, what happened next? The scripture says, I'm going to tell you before that when it come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. All right, let's skip down to, let me see.
Pray.
Yes, sir.
The reason why I want to say 16, because the story that you just gave, if the young man had been discerning,
mm-hmm.
First thing he would discern is, wait a minute, the Lord God himself told me to do something.
Amen.
And now it says here, the servant is not greater than his Lord, and he should understand the angel is a servant of the Lord.
Amen. So amen. That's
what he should have
said. That's a nice spin on that. Absolutely. All right, let's see here. So we already looked at Judas. Let's go to verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. It means it's going to happen immediately. You're going to see it. little children, yet a little while I'm with you. You seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So I say to you, so now I say to you, a new commandment that I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. A new commandment I give to you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye shall also love one another. These are the disciples that he's talking about. These are the people that are being discipled together. If the enemy is going to be successful, the people that you're being discipled together with, the enemy would do well to divide you. And you have to know who are the disciples of the Lord and love them. You know, we ought to love everybody, but we have to prefer the brethren, right? We have to prefer those even together. Right here. You look to your left and your right. The disciples that are with you, that are learning as you're learning. The ones that are growing and going after Christ as you're going after Christ. We have to figure out how to love them and think of more so the better. Because we have to discern a thing. If this is a disciple of Christ, then why is thus happening? Is the enemy attacking them? Is something that I said being used by the devil against their mind, and now they're responding in a certain manner? What's coming between the relationship? We serve the same master, and we ought to wash one another's feet. That means we ought to serve one another. That's what washing the feet actually represent. You got one right up front. That's what washing the disciple feet mean, that we serve one another, that we will humble ourselves to the other and prefer one another. Amen?
Amen.
And we have to get this love to each other. That's a requirement. That's not an option. We have to get love one to another. You can't sit silent next to somebody talking about you love them.
That's right.
If you're silent, perhaps you need to hug them. If you're silent, maybe you need to smile. Maybe you need to have a welcome. Maybe you don't have the words to say, but there's something that you have.
Y'all so great.
There's something that you must do. We can't sit here like this and leave the enemy to spiritually buffet them in their mind, making them think all type of stuff that they think I'm thinking about them. No, get the love to them and defeat the enemy. Amen?
Amen.
All right. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither thou goest? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why can't I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Discerning, discipleship. Peter didn't know what was in him. Peter did not know what would cause him to forsake Christ. We got a couple more scriptures that we're going to look at, but Peter didn't understand that. And so one of the major, one of my goals today in the closing out the discerning disciple is that if we're going to work on discerning a thing, let's work on discerning our relationship with the Lord. Not just trying to pick up on folks. I'm going to pick up on this guy. I'm going to pick up on that girl and all this other type of stuff. That's where we go wrong most of the time. But let's pick up on ourselves. What thing in my life will cause me to deviate from what the Lord told me to do? For the young man of God, it was a super spiritual thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what is it for you?
Wow.
What part of your past are you not willing to give up? What thing is that important to you? And no, it may not be necessarily a bad thing, but what is it? Some things we come to Christ and we trade out. We say, I love music. I used to do this music, now I do this music. But what if the Lord said to you, no music? And that's just maybe not the best example. But what if he just said, no, there's no substitution here. I need you to let that go.
And when you're...
you swallow. She's like...
because that example you just made, not the example, but just the fact that you just said, discern yourself. Mm-hmm. Once you start, I feel if I start discerning myself, it's like I probably won't even have time to really... You know.
Yeah, I think
once I start, you know, seeking him on my behalf,
mm-hmm.
It won't be time to really
pick up on folks.
Not that you're not supposed to pick up on folks. Just, I feel like you should pay attention to the people around you, but it'll just when you focus on yourself, it helps you better. To serve other people and love them regardless
there you
of what
go.
It is that
that's the word love.
Right. Mm-hmm. That you can deal with them on a more loving type way.
That's
no
right.
No matter what they bring to you know what that you discern.
It's a compassion.
Right. You have more compassion for the other person, especially when you're focusing on yourself because we all got things that we deal with.
Amen. Yes, ma'am.
Just quick thought to what you're saying. Love is an action word. But once you get that love, see, God loves all of us, but he hates the sin in our life.
Amen.
And we are to pray for them and don't look at their sin. Just show them love. And that's how you draw them. Love.
And you know too, that we understand it. Yes, we're sinful by nature, but it was the introduction. It was the introduction that we were inclined to.
Uh-huh.
See, yeah, who doesn't want to know? We all want to know. So when the devil came to Eve and said, "Man, your eyes will be open. All them questions you got, we about to answer them. All you have to do is eat this fruit." We want to know certain things. We're inclined. We desire that. But when we go beyond the boundary of the Lord, that's where sin takes place. Right?
Absolutely.
All right, let's turn to Matthew chapter 19 and verse 22. But when the young man, we there? 19 and 22. But when the young man heard that saying, hold on, let me back up.
21.
20. Man, we're going to do this one. That's it. More than likely. All right. Verse 16. And behold, which means look, one came and said unto him, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I might have, that I may have eternal life?" And he said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." There's so much stuff in there. "He saith unto him, which?" He said, keep the commandments. And now he's talking about which one? All of them. All of them. You got it together? Everything. It ain't no one thing. See, we like to get one thing or a couple of things. We want to get enough things that we can do that's good so we can still do the other things that we want to do. That go back to what me and Brother AP was talking about. Where I checked church off. I went Mondays. I went Tuesday. I went Wednesday. And that's good. And that may be good. Some folks may go once a month, once a year. And we figured that because I did this, I'm all right. But is that what the Lord told you to do? Is he master and Lord? Or is he just the Savior, Jesus Christ? I just need you when I need to be saved. I'm going to wait to call on you in that day. When everything is, when I see it's going down. When I see I'm about to drown. When I see my situation have no hope. At that point, I'm going to call you, "Lord, Jesus, save me." Or I'm going to live my life today knowing that you are my Lord and my master. You're the one to give me direction. You're the one that I submit to in all my ways. So he says, He said unto him, which, Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? What is he looking for?
Approval. He wants to think everything he's done thus far is right.
Yeah. He's looking to be checked off. I'm ready to go. Right now, I'm good.
He's all about tomorrow.
All about actions.
Not about faith.
Not about faith. Very good. Anybody else?
It's hard. His actions are right, but it's hard.
His actions may not have been right. Because the scripture, Matthew 5, talk about where Jesus said, when he talked about murder, he said if you dislike or hate your brother without cause, it's like you killing him. Just because you didn't physically kill somebody, don't mean you didn't murder.
Kill him when you talk about him.
And he said, okay, maybe you didn't sleep with that person, but if you looked at him with lust in your heart, you committed adultery in your heart. Mm-hmm. So we all, come on, let's be honest. That's everyone. So if this man thought he was good, obviously his heart wasn't right. He had pride in his heart.
Wow.
He had pride in his heart. And he wanted somebody to validate him. Jesus said unto him, verse 21, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast. How much?
Everything.
Gene coming off the top rope, this fellow. And give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me.
And how many of us would give up everything? I know I would. Easy.
Well, let's not be like Peter. We would like to say that. But we don't know. But what is true at this point, and what we can say, is at this point, all that I know, make that decision in your mind clearly that I'm willing to give this up, and I'm willing to give that up, and I'm willing to give the other thing up. And go through your mind to the thing where there's a little pause and hesitation. And we go back to what we talked about earlier, discerning yourself. We have to know ourselves. We got to and be honest with the Lord and say, Lord, you know what? This thing here, that's the other scripture I was trying to get to. I don't know if I'm going to, but we'll talk about it. Right? The man said, let me go. Jesus said, hey, you, come follow me. He said, no, let me go and bury my father first. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Jesus said, no, let the dead bury the dead. You come follow me. What if that man did just like the rich man? The rich man walked away sorrowful and sad. We see that in the scripture here. What if he went to bury his dad? Perhaps he didn't follow on to be Jesus' disciple. Perhaps he could have been one of the 12. But he missed the opportunity for the hesitation, for the thing that he did not see in himself. The thing that we thought was, well, it's not bad. Don't mean it's good. And it's sure enough doesn't mean that it's God. His ways are higher than our ways. We have to come to a point, saints of God, that we are willing to forsake all of our paradigms or all patterns of what is right and our belief structure. We have to be willing to question all of this that have up until this point to make us us. Everything is up on the table. Pastor says like this here, good, bad, lay it at the altar. Bring it all to the altar, whether it was good, whether you thought it was good, or whether you thought it was bad. Be willing to bring it up to the altar and let Jesus go through your stuff. So much of our stuff, we say, well, gee, this here is good. This all right. I'm going to keep this, but this here, right? A discerning disciple. We want to focus on discerning and picking up who we are so that we can then become right with Christ. And if and when we become right with Christ, truly we'll be able to go help somebody else. And when we go to help, then we'll have a compassion because we know who we were. And also we'll have a faith because we knew who we were and who he's created us to be. So much so that when we begin to witness or we begin to share the gospel, people will say to you, there's no way in the world you could have been that. When you begin to share your testimony with them, if the Lord desire for you to share your testimony, it's not about telling your business, but if the Lord would desire for you to tell your testimony, folk would be like, for real? I would have never. Why? Because I've been changed. And if I've been changed, truly you can be changed. Because the Most High God, there's no limit in Him. Right? All we must do is surrender and sell out. Yes, sir.
Yeah, they had. It's kind of confusing because they had Jesus with them back then.
Mm-hmm.
And he was actually with them and talking to them and showing them things and doing miraculous things. And the things that he was with them doing and saying to them, and it was coming to pass. I just couldn't understand why it was so hard for them back then to follow him than it is for us to follow him today, because we don't have him here. We just have his spirit. And it's amazing that it ain't no, I haven't seen no magic that powerful for somebody to be able to do the things that Jesus was doing back then. So the only thing we have is his spirit to rely on, his word and his spirit to rely on.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to use an analogy. You have kids, right?
Yes, sir.
And they look to you as a father.
Yes, sir.
And you tell them to do something because you have experience. You know if you do this, you're going to get hurt.
Right.
Do they listen to you?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. You know, and one thing that I'm going to address, I want to hit another point. I don't think we're going to be able to, but based on what you just said, you said we only have his spirit. The scripture, if you break it down in whatever language, I think it was Greek or whatever, but it's Alice Paracletus, which means another of the same kind. I will send you another comforter.
Yes.
As I've comforted you, I will send another comforter. And it's needful for you that I go away, because if I go away, the Spirit will come.
Yes.
And he said, when the Spirit of truth comes, not only will he lead you and guide you in truth, in all truth, but he shall be with you and he shall be in you.
Yes.
So we have a greater thing. That has more to do with the greater works talked about at the end of the Bible than anything else. Because the Holy Ghost, Jesus was with them. Physically, he wasn't in them.
In them. That's right.
Huh? It would be impossible for Judas to betray the Lord if the Lord himself was in him.
Right. Amen.
Well, in the Bible, it also say the Spirit came upon some of them. So,
some of them, not them. Some of them, they were kings and prophets.
Yeah, some of them.
And some of them was for a short period of time. Let me look at one. I'm going to look at one thing here, and then we're going to close out. Okay. We're going to skip over the eye of the needle. Y'all know that. All right. Verse 25. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" And you got to look at the context of this. They thought because you had things and you were in the church, it pointed to your spirituality. Brother Richard talked about up here last week how that, man, we did this and we did that. How do we not know that this person was in this situation? How do we not know that he was not a true disciple? Right? We just talked about the disciple washing his feet and not them not being able to pick up on Judas' heart like Jesus did. Okay? Verse 26, but Jesus beheld them. It's the gospel. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen? Any final comments?
Yeah, I want to address what he was saying, how he was saying, he don't understand how they walked with Christ and still had this type of unbelief. I think what we as people do is we fail to remember the human aspect or human nature of a person as opposed to their position and where Christ had them. And even though they were disciples and they walked closely with Jesus, they still had a human aspect that oftentimes get dismissed with spiritual leaders that's in a spiritual position.
we always hold them at this level and then forget about the human aspect of that person. Like they, like you can, you normally see them being nice and kind to people, but then you might see a moment where they're mean, and you're like, man, where did that come from? I thought he was thus and so and this and that. But we can't, we have to be careful and not forgetting that they're still a human first. Mm-hmm. And then the gift that God has blessed them with, they want to walk into it in perfect maturity. But sometimes we fail at that. So
amen.
I'm saying that's why I just want to address that.
Amen. Did you have it? Okay.
See, you got back then, they believed in the king. They believed in the tax collectors. They believed in all those other things, but they were walking with a man that was doing all these things, and that's the confusion. It really, once you get to know Jesus, he'll give you understanding if so be it. You know, if it's something that I need to know in my journey. You know, I believe he will give me what I need. But I'm only saying that because I just didn't understand. I don't understand it at this point to why. You know,
in those days, think, if you had a king, you understood. If you didn't do what the king said, what happened? You died.
Yeah.
So it wasn't love, it was fear. They lived in fear of the king and the tax collector, because the tax collector represented the king.
Right.
So anything you did wrong, the penalty was murder. I mean, was death. So,
or punishable by pain.
Believe it in
something you feel.
See, Jesus said, I want you to follow me of your own volition. I want you to voluntarily do it because you love me as I love you. There's no love between you and the king. It's fear.
Right.
I think we need to do one more, maybe. And I think what he said was really key to kind of bounce for the next one. And it's going to be discerning. We're going to look at discerning, but we're going to look at discerning from the system or the structure around us. The world system, the world structure, the spirit of Antichrist that is in operation in almost everything that you see with your natural eyes. Come on, let's bow our heads and close out in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this time of sharing. We just pray that we're edified and built up in you. God, we just ask that we collectively would participate in worship, that we collectively would begin to magnify you and praise you. God, that collectively we will begin to become grateful for all that you've already done for us, and that we begin to exalt your name and find out with our ears open what it is that you would have for us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.